I want to do something that I would not have done last year or 2 years ago. And it's not this coming down. But normally, when I'm in Stamford Chapel, if that's the place I'm going to be in a smaller setting with people who are here every week, and sometimes we'll have a discussion, a back and forth discussion, because we know each other, and that's fantastic. But it seems to me that if we're serious about the sort of message that Max talked about, getting to know one another and building a community with those of us who may be visitors here, but are still part of the larger community, Portland community, global community, if you've traveled here, is important. And what I want to have us discuss is a very difficult topic, which is somewhat removed from our lives, but which I think we all crave. And namely, that is holiness, Kedusha. So I'm going to ask us what we imagine holiness to be, but that's a little bit of a frightening question, because it's not the sort of discussion we normally have. So what I want to provide is a little bit of background about what this word Kedusha or holiness means, and an idea or two from some different thinkers to provide the backdrop and hopefully the confidence so that you'll be willing to share your notions of what Kedusha of holiness is. So at its base, the meaning of being holy means to be separated out. It implies a sense of difference. And the question, of course, then becomes, different from what? Different for what? And is that maybe just a little bit too spiritual and out there for me? So let me give you just a couple of different notions of Kedusha, which I think will show that it's not really so far out. The first comes from Sfat Emet, an important Hasidic thinker of the last century. And he says that Kedusha, holiness, is first of all only achieved through group unity. Isn't that lovely? Sometimes we think about a saint or a mystic or a monk as someone who's holy because they are separated out and they're living a life very different from ours. They're not concerned with paying the mortgage or getting milk on the table or any of the sorts of struggles we have. But Sfat Emet says, no, we only can achieve that sense of transcendence. We can only touch that sense of meaning through community. So that's one sort of notion I want to provide you with. Another sort of notion comes from Menachem Mendel of Morka. He was a ultra-Orthodox leader, and you might think that all of his people are so separated out from the world that it might not be speaking to us. But he says, is it really possible that a human being can achieve holiness? Is that like what we're about? And he says, if you're talking about at the level of angels, these Malachei Hasharet, these ministering presences, of course not. That's not what's asked of us. Rather, he says, the holiness that's asked of us is that each of us operates at our own level and tries to be a little better. So I'm going to frame this now a little larger so that we can talk about it, because I still have this worry that Kedusha is alien from our vocabulary. But what are the ways in which you feel like you've had moments of transcendence, that you're connected to something larger? Or what are those episodes in your life where you put aside concerns just for your own well-being and you're motivated by the whole and you have an experience because of that? Or something else that you think of with holiness. So what does it mean to be holy in our world at whatever level we're each at? told you, it's a hard topic. But one of the things I learned in pedagogy is if the teacher's silent long enough, someone will get so anxious in the silence that they'll offer an idea. So now I'm being silent. So beautiful. So first of all, you are Nakshon. You're the first person who steps into the ocean and frees up the rest of us. Maybe holiness is actually the way we think about ourselves, and that if we think that we're holy, we begin to become holy. And that's a fantastic notion, right? That if we tell a different story about who we are, we begin to live our lives differently. So there's something very profound in that sort of approach. Great. Oh, I love that. Bring something aspirational into our mundane life. Life can definitely be mundane. We can get so caught up in the day-to-day and the nitty-gritty, and we can get worn down or just get on the treadmill and not really pay attention to what the heck we're doing anyway. By the way, I think that pain of daily existence is one of the reasons for our opioid crisis. We get so bogged down in the difficulties of life, we stop dreaming of something bigger. So that aspiration refocuses us. Remember that movie where the taxi cab driver has on the sun visor a picture of that beach, that beautiful setting? That was there to remind him that there was another sort of world and a type of beauty in it that maybe he couldn't experience in his day-to-day life. Beautiful. Beautiful. Volunteering. One of the commentators who talks about holiness says, you know, people normally think of holiness as being the person who's most learned in Torah, meaning like these great scholars. And he comes back and says, that's not what it is. Holiness is actually going to be determined by how people use their money. And volunteering is a sense right off the bat that I have enough, right? Maybe I want more, maybe I'm still achieving and striving, but I have enough and I feel full enough that I want to give back, that I want to make a difference. You cannot volunteer unless you have a certain sense of fullness. And if you do want more, the best way to do it is to empty out your cup so that that cup of blessing can get filled up again. And volunteering is fantastically meaningful, and we look at the numbers, and there's a lot of volunteering happening in this country that we can all take pride in. Maybe get one or two more. Fantastic. Holiness, the quest for holiness, is our desire, our need, our sense to feel how we are connected, not just to ourselves, but to society, the world, that transcendent level of being. And I will argue, whether we know it or not, that most of us are here for exactly that. Yes, we came for a family simcha, for a bar mitzvah. We came because we are family or friends of family or classmates of the family. But we come, however inchoately, big fancy word, without the ability to express it, we want to feel that we're part of something larger. And there is a deep and beautiful irony about this notion of Kedusha, of holiness, of being separate in order to feel connected. The greatest cause of anguish and mental illness and addiction in our world comes from that sense that we aren't connected, that we live our lives in isolation and with all of our troubles being just our own. And that, according to Judaism, is a fundamental misread of the world, of God's presence in it, but of our love for one another also. Kedusha, this sense of really being connected and feeling our own significance because we are something small but meaningful in something larger, is a fundamental human need and desire, but it doesn't happen automatically. I know that this would be a difficult and esoteric topic, but at the heart of communities, whether here at Neve Shalom is your community, another house of worship in Portland, an atheist group of friends, or whatever city you may be from, building those connections, volunteering, having aspirations of where we might achieve, feeling that part of this flow that we are all part of, is what makes our lives matter. And we know that and we feel it when a child becomes a bar bat mitzvah, because we see time flow through us and know that even if we are just a pebble in the stream of life, that our presence there ripples through eternity and that the river is changed forever because of that. That's what we need to know, and that's the truth of who we each are. May we all go out into the world and find those ways to take this esoteric notion of holiness and make it real, each of us at our own level. Not only will our lives be better, but society and the world as a whole will be. Shabbat Shalom. Let's all be of courage.